Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who's about to keep the four, drop the one,
throw in a two.
Survivor 42, baby. Rob Cisternino here for Rob Has a Podcast. Yes. Yes, we are here live on Wednesday afternoon. Surprise. Here we are ready to talk about, hey, look, yeah, we have a Celebrity Big Brother going on. Yeah, we're in the middle of an amazing race season, but how about 1 month from today, we've got Survivor 42 premiering just 4 weeks from tonight here on CBS. And we have with us a man who is totally tapped into everything going on. Of course, you know him from many Rob Has a Podcast episodes, the B&B post-show recaps, and of course, Parade.com. Give it up for Mike Bloom.
Hi. And 17 other contestants will be competing on Survivor 42. There we go. I got all the high jokes out of the way. We don't need to do them for the next 3 months now. You're welcome, everybody.
Yes. Yes. Here we are live for a cast release for Survivor 42. We don't know a ton at this hour, but anything there is to know, Mike Bloom knows it.
Yeah. So, I mean, listen. I know a bunch, but look, in Survivor, information is currency.
Yes,
right?
Knowledge is power.
I'm not going to have you pickpocket me and you know, drain my bank account. I'm going to give you a nice, like, COD interest to have you sort of leak the funds out. So, look, we're going to be talking a lot over the course of the next few weeks about Survivor 42. I guess that is the advantage of having a long off season. Like you said, we are a month away, and we've got a lot. You know, we have the bios are already out. Obviously, the photos and the names are already out. That's what we're talking about today. But in the weeks to come, I have interviews that I did with the contestants pre-season, both in written form and in audio form that Rob and I are going to go through. I might be talking with some other people in, you know, the release up to Survivor 42. I don't know. I'm just sort of throwing a net out there and seeing how many fish I catch. But yeah, so it's a big day. It's a surprising day. Let's talk about that for a second, because, you know, I think the Survivor 42 marketing has been super interesting, right? Like, I can't think of, maybe besides Winners at War, you know, maybe it's because I've been watching Celebrity Big Brother and Amazing Race that I see a lot of live CBS commercials as opposed to on demand. But I feel like we've seen so much of these people's faces, more so than I think a lot of other Survivor commercials. I'm not entirely sure what that is. But maybe that counteracts the fact that, as you mentioned, we really are in like a perfect storm, a super storm of reality television, if you will, that while we were so focused on all these other things going on the big three, here comes the third end of that triangle sneaking up on us.
Yeah, this was like Nasir coming in, finding the third advantage, and we're as confused as a goat on AstroTurf. Yeah, we did get the promotions, Mike. Don't forget about Buffalo Eric and, of course, his daughter, Sari, and Kat Rupert a couple of weeks ago. Yeah,
The upcoming characters on Paramount and Brand Steel, too, a podcast that may never happen in the future.
For sure. But then the commercial started to come back. The monster is back.
Yeah, which is sort of begs the question of, like, was the monster ever here to begin with? Can something truly return if you never acknowledge its existence in the first place?
Yeah, so we can explore that at some point, but we have actual things to talk about here today as we are getting ready to talk about. We're going to talk to you about everything you need to know right now. Yeah.
It's great. It's great to be here. We've been away for a couple months. Probably didn't feel like it because of the Survivor 41 deep dives, but we're happy to be here.
And most of all, in this time away, we missed our time with you. So thank you for coming back and making Rob Has a Podcast a thing.
thank you for making Rob Has a Podcast a thing is like just a good general platitude to put out there. I mean, well, I think we should certainly talk at a certain perspective as to like what's going to carry over from Survivor 41 to 42, right? What is the number that remains? Just to like, you know, give a little taste of that conversation. Is Jeff talking to the camera going to be a thing in 42? You think that's here to stay?
I think it is. I would think so, because I kind of feel like that unless people on the production felt like this is really not working. And maybe that was the case because we saw, I think, a little bit more in the beginning of the season than we did later on in the season. I do think that it will continue to be a thing because they talked about it a lot in the preseason of last year. So I think that they were probably feeling pretty good about it going into season 42.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting point that, again, this sort of leads into a conversation we'll have later. But this idea of, you know, they didn't have time necessarily to get audience feedback because 42 filmed, in this case, I believe, really soon after 41. Because, again, in this 26-day window, like, pretty sure it was almost like a revolving door situation where, like, as 41 was flying back, I'm pretty sure maybe only a week or two passed before 42 ended up coming in, that I would imagine there was not a lot of turnaround for them to be like, all right, let's really think about what worked and what didn't work. So I do think
that's
we're
the monster
of
production. You can't stop and think about what's working and what's not working. You just got to keep going.
Just run, no matter what choices you may make, no matter if you choose to go into the shed full of knives or, like, you know, to the police station, you're just running from the monster.
Your fear
speaks. Yeah, you have to listen to your gut at the end of the day. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see what ends up being held over due to the fact that, yeah, they're sort of like test audience is the players of 41. And so I can imagine there's certainly a lot of like,
and they were, I mean, a very vocal focus group.
Very much so. Certain people,
they
more
were
than
not
others,
shy, but what's work? What worked? What didn't work? What was a twist that was good? And maybe a twist that was not as good.
I really would like to see someone do a recreation of the famous I Think You Should Leave sketch about the car ideas with Danny McRae as the infamous man suggesting about a steering wheel that flies off when you're driving. Just for the three fans out there who understand that reference. I mean, another interesting thing, though, to that point is I could see one reason maybe why they scale it back is if Jeff's onus is to come out here and be like, all right, here's a brand new twist that's coming straight to your eyeballs. If they're not so brand new to us anymore, it might not need there might not be a necessity for it. But I could also see Jeff really wanting to, you know, still embrace that fourth wall. The children aren't going away anytime soon. Yeah. Those junior Survivor fans. So,
right. That's right. Well, let me just set the stage real quick for what we're going to do today. We're going to go through the 18 new cast members. We're going to talk through them. Very sort of top level stuff about what's going on. We're also going to talk a little bit about what we can expect in terms of twists and gameplay. What we know at this hour, and maybe some speculation as to what may or may not come back from season 41. We will very shortly be back with our first tribe preview. Mike Bloom has interviews with each of the 18 castaways, and we will be listening to them one tribe at a time. The first of those interviews is going to be coming on Thursday. Which tribe will you be talking about first, Mike?
We are starting. Listen, Rob, you and I love Big Brother Canada. We got to start with the Ica tribe.
Yes.
Luckily, that didn't happen in 41 because Deshaun would have gotten those family letters and they would have been shredded by the Ica tribe.
Right. Okay.
So I believe we're going in alphabetical order. So we are going to be starting with the Ica tribe tomorrow. And then I believe the plan is to release one tribe cast preview
a week
per week.
Per week. Yeah. So and, then... Yeah, we'll have one on Wednesday and then one on the following Wednesday. Mike Bloom and I will be previewing each group of six in their tribe, something we were not able to do in season 41. So I think that will help us be able to sort of process the relationships a little bit better than we were able to in season 41.
Yeah, well, because, you know, one of the things that I'm imagining is going to carry over is this whole idea of three tribes throughout the pre-merge and no swaps. So these people are going to be sticking in these groups for essentially half the game, which is incredibly important. As we saw something like last season, you know, day one bonds can bear out all the way to day 26. So I think we're actually going to get a really good sense as to what the first half of the game is going to look like and how that might end up bearing out for the second half of the game. So I'm very excited for that. And you know, if you also want to check it, I believe the graphics are up on the CBS official Twitter page, a Survivor Twitter page, as well as to like helpful little guides as to who's on what tribe with nice little fun smiling GoPro pics of everybody.
Yeah, if you're listening to the podcast version, we are also on YouTube. If you want to watch along and see the visuals of the people we're going to talk about, it's at robhiswebsite.com/YouTube, where you can go to see all the video versions of our podcast and also whenever we stream live. And of course, you want to make sure you're subscribed to Rob's podcast so you don't miss the upcoming cast previews and interviews that we're going to be doing. Head on over to robiswebsite.com/subscribe to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And we always appreciate your feedback and your star ratings over on Apple Podcasts. You can get there very easily at robiswebsite.com/subscribe. Okay, Mike, do you want to talk about our cast?
Yeah, let's start with the cast first. Then we can talk a bit about big picture. Because look, there's going to be a lot of constants, I think, between season 41 and 42. Again, we'll speak about that later. But there are some variables here. And the variables are in the form of 18 new players, which just got revealed. So I think it makes sense to introduce those new factors before talking about a bit more of what the same is going to be between seasons.
Okay. Just also real quick, are we expecting 26 days once again? Is that confirmed?
Yeah. So a couple of castaways in my interview said 26 days. I have not received any information to question it. And considering that, once again, it filmed right after 41 in the midst of the pandemic, I think it makes sense that it would still stick to that 26-day formula. Again, they don't have to reinvent the wheel. They just came up with an entire structure of how to minimize it down to 26 days. So, yeah, we should expect the same thing. And I guess the big question is, and again, we'll get into this much later, is the general structure going to change, or are we going through the same motions of, like, you know, double tribal council in the premiere all the way up to the final four firemaking? Yeah.
Mike, in the history of Survivor, have we ever had three starting tribes in back-to-back seasons?
Three starting tribes. Well, technically, since Koh Rong did film before Cambodia, we did have that back-to-back with Worlds Apart. But otherwise, no. You know, you have something like Philippines to Cagayan was obviously 25 to 28. Cagayan to Worlds Apart was 28 to 30, 38 to 32, 32 to 35. And then, you know, 35, we were in that two tribe phase for a while, and now we are here in 41. So a lot of firsts going on for 41 and 42. Again, we'll talk about this later on. I feel like I keep, you know, being that person who's like, and then coming up, we're going to be talking about everything that's staying the same between Survivor 41 and 42. Not a fantastic promo, but at the same time, it's a really unique perspective for the show, because I can honestly not think about a time where there were two seasons back to back with essentially a copied and pasted production format. And not to say that, like, ascribes to it any sort of, like, laziness or anything. In fact, you know, we often talk about the twists that sometimes don't work. It's just a matter of, like, well, you tried something and then it didn't work one time and then you went away from it and didn't return to it, whereas maybe it could have used some retooling. This is an opportunity to do so. And so I think we're sort of in some rarefied air of, if you take basically the same structured season and plug in an entirely new group of players,
yeah,
what is going to happen? Which is an exciting idea.
What about Survivor Redemption Island to South Pacific?
Yeah, I mean, that is, I guess that is similar. Yeah. And that was, I mean, that's interesting, though, because that was sort of in different filming cycles, right?
Yeah.
Like 21 and 22 film back to back.
They came home. They saw it and said, we're going to run it back.
Yeah, exactly.
We saw how much you guys liked it. We're doing it again.
Oh, you were going gaga over Philip Shepherd. Well, here's Coach, the one thing that you all wanted back on your screens for the first time in a year and a half. Coach Wade is making his return to Survivor. That's a really great example of it. For some reason, if they felt like this was a good time to sort of like bring it back. I mean, something like Exile Island as well, right? Like had its whole run between seasons 12 to 14 and then like 16 to 18. Or whatever. But otherwise, I can't think of like a season, especially one that was so twist laden as Survivor 41, to really like take that structure and just install it in a different place. Again, I'm not necessarily mad at it, because I think a lot of us were talking about how some twists worked a lot better than other ones, but like could be interesting to see in future seasons. So I'm happy there's not at least like a, we did it once and now we'll get rid of it, right? Like there's some stuff in there that you could retool. You don't need to throw out the baby with the bathwater.
Okay, please never do that. All right, so let's talk about our first tribe, Aika.
Ica.
Like Ica, right?
We like Ica. I'm Micah. So mm-hmm. I think it just makes sense that we enjoy it. I actually believe, I was going to say, I don't think Micah is on this tribe. That would make a lot mm-hmm. of sense to have mm-hmm. Mike on Ica. That would just be an easy association.
You could also do an anagram with KIA.
There you go. Mix it up. Maybe that is the secret. Again, there's no tribe divisions here on Survivor 42, but maybe this is secret code by the producers, right? Of like, all right, who are the biggest know-it-alls in the cast? Mm-hmm. Let's put them together. This is like our pseudo brains tribe. Something that is really interesting, though, Rob, is we kind of have like a Borneo situation where, you know, and part of the reason why the pagonging of it all happens is because a lot of the people in like the middle of the alphabet were grouped together, right? Your Jennas, your Gregs, your Jervises, your Joels, etc. And all the people at the end of the alphabet, Rudy, Rich, Sue, were on Toggy. Here, we have a really interesting grouping where like a lot of people at the end of the alphabet, as we're about to get into, are on Ica with a couple of exceptions. A lot of people in the beginning of the alphabet with a couple of exceptions are on Vati. And a lot of people in the middle are on Taku. So like, I don't know if they were honestly just like, let's just go in alphabetical order. Mm-hmm. I'm not entirely sure, but I just found that very interesting.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about our first contestant that we're going to meet this season. It's Drea Wheeler. Mike, what do we know about Drea?
So Drea is a fitness consultant. She runs her own fitness business. She's originally from Texas, but she currently resides in Montreal. Oh boy, if you are a Canadian resident or a fan from Canada, they turned out this season. I believe we have like three or four contestants representing Canada in some way, shape, or form, whether a former resident or a current resident. So Drea is someone who's, you know, very much into fitness. She is a trainer. She's a personal trainer. She is someone who is incredibly driven. She lost her father at a young age, and that really taught her this idea of like, you know, don't wait until tomorrow, in a manner of speaking. And obviously, we talk a lot about sort of the losses that people experience and how that formulates their life. And obviously, a big question that we always ask Survivor contestants is, you know, how much does your life experience and attitude translate to the game? And I'm really intrigued to see if this, like, take the bull by the horns and, you know, move forward with it mentality is going to carry over to the beach as well.
Okay. All right. Anything else about Drea?
Interestingly, we'll talk a little bit about it tomorrow when we cover the Ica tribe. She's someone who is very set on no drama at camp.
Mm.
Ironically enough, unlike the person that this tribe is named after.
For, yeah.
Yeah. No drama. So we'll talk a bit about that, especially since we know the Ica tribe in general, as to whether or not she will be successful in that mission.
Okay. All right. That's Drea. Who else is here on the Ica tribe?
Roxroy Bailey.
Roxroy. What a great name. Yeah,
one of the most unique names I think I have ever heard.
No relation to Randy Bailey.
I mean, listen, it'd be really interesting if we sort of have, a Kardashian situation, right? Where like Mr. and Mrs. Bailey gave all their children our names mm-hmm. between Randy and Roxroy. But yeah, here is Roxroy. He is a stay-at-home dad, but former environmental consultant. He is from Las Vegas. And yeah, I mean, Roxroy is someone who would say firsthand that he actually likes, he's a little bit on like the more muted, quiet side. He actually is not on social media whatsoever, which Smart. Honestly might be a blessing for him in this upcoming season, depending on how he does. But he's someone who's like, listen, I may get some eyes on me initially, ironically enough, for not talking a lot in the beginning, but like get some ground under me and I'm going to fly.
Mm-hmm. Get some rocks under me.
Get some rocks under me and I'm going to turn them into sand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What does Roxroy do by trade?
So his bio officially says stay-at-home dad. He's a former environmental consultant, and he certainly has some professional experience in that regard that he's mm-hmm. going to bring in. I'm not sure if this is now what's interesting is several of these people did lose their jobs during the pandemic. Yeah. I don't know if that was the case with Roxroy, if he just decided to take time off to be with his kids. But yeah, officially, I think this might be our first like official stay-at-home dad lower third that we've had on Survivor mm-hmm. as well.
A couple of interesting notes, Mike. No better place to consult with the environment than Survivor, okay? Mm-hmm, you do a lot of consulting true. With the environment on Survivor. Do you think that Roxroy will be likely to go to Rox? Will he say, like, I mean, look, 3-3? Fine,
It's the name of the game. That's what I was named after.
That's why they call me Roxroy.
Well, yeah, what's going to happen is there's going to be a future contestant named Roy who goes to Rox. He's going to travel back in time and have a son to warn himself, right? Like, hey, don't go to Rox. You ended up getting voted out. So I'm going to name your son after the thing that ends up ruining your life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. There's Roxroy. Okay. All right. Romeo. Romeo Escobar.
Romeo, Romeo. Wherefore art thou, Romeo?
He's right here.
On Survivor 42.
Yes.
Romeo is a pageant coach. He's someone who, this is a fun story that gets reflected a lot through the cast. A lot of humble beginnings cast. Romeo's family immigrated to the United States. He grew up in South Central LA. So it really is this idea of like, you know, pulling yourself up and like learning how to survive in a world that is a bit inhospitable. He has gone on to do some really successful things. He is a producer. As I mentioned before, he's coached, you know, beauty queens, Olympic athletes. He's worked red carpets before as well. And suffice it to say, especially with modern Survivor, big, big fan of the show. And he credits Survivor for also like helping him connect to the world as well. You know, a lot of these people are like in their 30s, where, you know, when you're watching Survivor as a teenager, right, in like a formative age, and you can't really explore much of the world outside due to external circumstances, Survivor can really help in that way. And so Romeo is somebody who is hopefully looking to have some poise and maybe, you know, take home his own sash, not Lenahan, in the form of a Survivor win.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting to note about Romeo.
Yeah, very, very exciting. We should also note here that I believe Romeo, it's always interesting when the cast gets released, right, to have people come out and be like, oh, really rooting for this person. I believe Romeo knows Will from the Amazing Race 32 winner. Oh. Seems like they have crossed paths as well. So I don't know. Maybe Will has that golden touch and was able to pass over some winning juju to Romeo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Maybe in the form of a lucky king cake baby.
Could be as well. Listen, if he can find the king cake baby, maybe Romeo will be able to find an idol in the middle of the jungle.
That's right. Okay. Who else is here on the Ika tribe?
All right. So this is Swathi. Swathi is our youngest person of the season.
How young is she?
19 years old, Rob. Swathi coming in here. But age is just a number to Swathi. She is a college student. I believe she's attending Harvard. But literally days after finishing her training for the Army National Guard, she came out to play Survivor.
Wow.
So suffice it to say, she is definitely knowledgeable in the ways of discipline, in the ways of maybe a bit of isolation. And so she is very much carrying that attitude into the show. So it's really interesting, you know, when it comes to these teenagers, you have people who are often very confident in who they are, and perhaps they either get humbled by the experience in a certain way, or maybe it changes who they are, especially given what the very different trajectories of our three 20-year-olds last season in JD, right. Liana, and Xander. Really intrigued to see where Swathi goes this season.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Swathi is very accomplished at 19 years old.
Yeah. We should also mention her parents, and she also immigrated from India. It's really interesting. There's like a good amount of immigrant stories for the United States, and considering the entire onus of the United States etched on the Statue of Liberty, I think that's a really cool idea. Actually, going back to Big Brother Canada, that's something I've always really appreciated about the casting, is that it really represents this idea of, for lack of a better term, melting pot or a mosaic, whatever metaphor you want to use. And I find that a cool commonality with this cast. I know we got that a bit with Nasir last season as well. We certainly had that with like Natalie and Nadia, but I'm glad those are stories that are getting more focused on. We have Romeo, we have Swathi, Hai, who's coming up, also has a similar story like that. And that's very cool considering like how much of a segment of the population that does represent.
Okay. Mike, who's next?
All right. So up next is Tori. Don't call me Dawn Meehan.
Is that the twist that we have a lot of famous last names in Survivor history?
Yeah, so this is like, I don't know if you call it blood versus water. Mm-hmm. I guess it's called like oops, all Hanses, where like a la Brandon Hance, a relative comes by later and doesn't reveal who they are. Luckily, Tori does not have Dawn's name tattooed across her back, but Tori may be a familiar face to those of you that like online reality games. She played in the live action season 3 of the show Sequester.
Oh,
so yeah, we have a little bit of background as to how she might play a high intense game. Tori is a therapist.
Can I ask spoilers? Spoiler alert. How did she do?
I don't think she won, but she certainly made an impression.
Okay.
Is my impression from it. Listen, we're talking about Tori tomorrow. If in the next 24 hours, someone wants to send us like a brief TLDW about how Tori did in Sequester and how that might apply to Survivor, greatly appreciated. But by trade, Tori is a psychologist. She really credits herself being like, listen, off the couch, I have this crazy and loud persona, but like on the couch, I'm very professional. I know how to essentially like talk to people. And she talks up a lot of psychological knowledge.
I thought that was a misconception that the therapist sits on a couch.
I mean, well, I guess they sit on the couch, right? The therapist, I guess I should say, is the comfy chair.
Yeah, because usually when we talk about get up off the couch, that's like a, you know, like a positive on Survivor.
Yeah, exactly. Not get up off the couch, your time is up. But I mean, the couch is visible in the room. Though I think the therapist should be able to sit on a couch as well. You know, therapists have a big mental burden in terms of taking care of other people's mental health. But Tori is incredibly prepared and meticulously thought through this game to the point where, Rob, she has color coordinated her pregame wardrobe due to certain psychological studies and color associations just to get into people's heads
as to
what they should be thinking about her.
Was she going to talk about this in her interview with us?
Yeah, let's put a pin in that until tomorrow. She has a lot of thoughts about both what she's doing pregame, what she's going to do in the season as well. She comes from a family of Survivor superfans, too, so she feels a bit more added pressure to do it, not only for her, but for her household. So Tori, I think, is really going to be an interesting personality, no matter how she does.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then who else is here in this, the sixth member?
Last up is Zach Wurtenberger. Zach is the final member. I mean, it's a lovely, fantastic name. He's the last alphabetically in the season. He's also near the bottom in terms of age. He is at 22. He is also a student. He looks a lot like Adam Klein to me. And in his interview, you get a lot of Adam Klein vibes as well. Even he self-professes it. So we shall see. You know, Adam certainly has a reputation. He'll be going out there with fans as well. I wonder if the association will be there for them as well. But Zach has that youthful eagerness to it, has that super fan energy, and specializes in speech and debate. So look, I know that inauthenticity might happen sometimes when you're preparing speeches and the like at tribal council. But if Zach does, have to speak his arguments when it comes to in front of other people, he at least has the structure to be able to do so.
I'm seeing in the chat, he looks a lot like Mike Bloom to me. Mike, do you have something to tell us?
All right. Yeah, if you rearrange the letters in my name, you get Zach Wurtenberger. Mm-hmm. I apologize, everybody, that you have to find out this way. But do you remember that brief one-day period where I wasn't recording podcasts in May of 2021? I went out to play Survivor. I have to say it. I'm so sorry that it had to come out this way.
All right. Well, Mike, we'll be rooting for you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Myself as well. I don't know how I do, so this will be very exciting,
yes,
too.
Okay.
I wiped my memory when I came back from Fiji just to enjoy the season.
Good move. Okay. Mike, anything else we want to say about Zach?
No, I'm excited to talk about how all these people are going to mesh tomorrow. Right on this tribe, we have two students. We have a good amount of like excitable younger super fans, a bit of like the older crowd represented as well. So I mean, part of the fun is talking about these people individually, but then the other half of the fun is seeing how are these personalities going to mesh together, or will they not at all?
Yeah, very much looking forward to getting into listening to those first six interviews with you on the podcast. Again, be on the lookout for that coming to Rob as a Podcast on Thursday.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com. For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
Mike, let's take a look at our next tribe. Now, what is this? Taku?
I believe it's Tuesday. Taku. Yeah, exactly. Though Survivor airs on Wednesday, never aired on Tuesdays, once aired on Thursdays. But yeah, Taku, I believe, is the name. We had a lot of difficulty with Yasa, I remember, preseason, and it turned out that we were saying it completely wrong. So I'm going to assume Taku and be waiting to be corrected by Jeff in a month or so.
Okay. All right. So let's talk about Jackson Fox. Boy, what a great name. Sounds like an action movie star.
Oh, absolutely. Well, yeah. Screw Jack Reacher. I'm all about Jackson Fox right now. Mm-hmm. So Jackson is a hospital or a healthcare worker. I believe he's a hospital transporter. He is from Texas. Has a really interesting story. So he is a trans man. And he transitioned. He's 48. He only transitioned at age 40, and he did so coming from like a Southern Baptist, really closed in town. So he is obviously used to, you know, realizing a lot about himself and making his way through some uncomfortable situations. And so, I mean, he does say, like, basically, if I could go through that, I could go through Survivor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. That's an incredible story.
Yeah, it's really awesome. And also, we'll have to do some tattoo undressing because he is covered.
Tatted up.
I think he's our tat king of the season.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Jackson, big Survivor fan, do we know?
It's interesting, actually. He started watching the show on a dare, and now he is here playing Survivor. So just shows the dominoes.
Wow, just goes to show the worst game of truth or dare ever. I dare you to watch Survivor.
Yeah, I don't know who he was playing with that thought that would be
challenge
the good dare.
Accepted.
Really planting the seed, right? Of like, all right, you better start binging this 40 season show. Mm-hmm. That's going to be the perfect dare.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. All right. So that's Jackson Fox.
Jackson Fox.
Okay. All right. Jackson Fox and Jonathan Young are buddy cops in a brand new procedural drama coming to CBS.
Do not, adjust your screen. This is not Grant Matos from Survivor Redemption Island. This is Jonathan Young. Jonathan Young is also fairly young. He is 29, though apparently. So he's an owner of a beach services company, and he's owned it for 10 years. So apparently he's basically like a beach babe, if you will. He says he's basically lived there. He's lived there his entire life. The beach essentially raised him. So I think it only makes sense to transplant him onto another one. He also has reality TV experience. Rob, I'm trying to remember on the reality TV rewind you did last year.
Yeah.
Did you talk about endurance at all?
No, we did not.
So Endurance is a show that was sort of like a teenage version of Survivor. Mm-hmm. There were teenagers that played a game where they were paired up. They would compete in challenges. People weren't voted out. Instead, they competed in like a jank ass game of rock, paper, scissors.
Okay, to essentially truth or determine. Dare.
No, I dare you to go watch Survivor.
Dare you watch Endurance. Yeah.
But Jonathan competed on Endurance when he was 14 years old.
Okay.
In the final season of Endurance. And so ever since then, he said, I know I'm going to make my way onto Survivor one day. And here he is. And he is someone who is already coming in being like, let me be your meat shield. So Jonathan is a very, very interesting person to talk about. If you have read his bio, there are certainly some very fun things that we get to discuss.
Okay. All right. Looking forward to that one. Okay. Here we go. Who's next, Mike?
All right. Next up, let's see. Lindsay Delosiewicz, I believe is how you pronounce her last name.
What a great name.
I mean, listen, God help all these people that are able to try to like fit their names on the, you know, legal forms or anything between Zach and Lindsay. Like, I don't know. Look out any sort of bubbles that you have to fill in on your SATs. Lindsay is a dietitian. She hails from New Jersey. If she could describe herself in one word to quote Christy from BB23, it would be loud. And she is somebody who really prides herself on being like spunky, go-getter, tells it straight to your face. And she's hoping that there will at least be somebody that vibes with her with that same attitude on the beach.
Okay. Do we know what kind of dietitian she is? What she is, her program?
Yeah, I don't know if there is any sort of like, I don't know, a dish with Delosiewicz or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I think it's just generally like she consults with you about like your own nutritional plans. As someone who has a son that is, you know, currently going through some nutritional issues, not to say that she's a direct corollary, but the way she describes her job is like a lot of consulting, a lot of working through things rather than being like, hello, this is the Lindsay plan and this is how you can get, you know, fit in 30 days.
Wow. Okay. Or 26 days. I've got a real diet plan.
Oh, is that like the 8-minute abs, 26-day diet?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Works every time. Okay. So, all right. That's Lindsay. Where is she from?
She is from New Jersey.
New Jersey. Okay.
So, all look, right. I mean, listen, we've got some good history to it. Let's remember the Survivor 40 Final 3. We're all from New Jersey. Maybe it's in the water here. Maybe I should be drinking more water in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm. Zach, I mean, I think any dietitian would tell you, drink more water, Mike.
Very good point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Who's next?
Next up is Mariah. So her name is pronounced Mariah, like Carrie, Sharon. So Mariah is traditionally by trade a teacher educator. I believe at the time she was filming, she is a stay-at-home mom.
Okay. Mariah, I see, had some recent tragedy.
Yeah, so Mariah lost her brother to COVID-19. In fact, and she talks about this in her bio, I believe her brother was one of the first nurse to die of COVID-19 in the United States, mm-hmm. which is an incredibly tragic story, but it's foundational to her. She said that actually losing him had like gave her that mental toughness and resolve to be able to really take on anything over the course of the game. So suffice it to say, the pandemic has really affected her outlook on life. And so she really is one of these people coming in to the game with like this attitude, right? Of, I just want to have an adventure. You know, there are some discrepancies as there always are of like people coming in for the experience, people just there for the money, people there to win, etc. And Mariah is really just looking to like embrace the 26-day experience fully.
Yeah. Okay. Do we know her experience with Survivor?
So she actually talks about how when her son was born 20 years ago, he was a preemie and she essentially was in the NICU for a couple of months and Survivor was on. And so she just kind of like found it happenstance. And then she was able to just sort of keep watching the show.
Wow. Okay. All right. Good background. All right.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of people, like there's a real difference. There are a good amount of day oneers, I would say, in this cast. I would say probably the older people in the cast are more day oneers, but not too many, I would say, recent converts. Even the people that are relatively younger, like Romeo is somebody who said he'd been watching since the very first season. Mm-hmm. So like, I guess that's the more advanced age, I would say, generally, of this cast is you get a lot of people that were generally watching along, considering that was 20 years ago.
Okay. All right. Mike, who else is on this tribe?
All right. Next up is Marianne. Marianne already kind of made a bit of a splash if you had watched the trailer for Survivor 42 that aired at the end of Survivor 41. She's the one making kind of like exaggerated faces. And that is Marianne. Marianne is a self-professed weird one who's here to do it for the weird ones to prove that you can be, you know, break the age.
She's doing it for us,
right? Yeah. Be annoying, be weird, be yourself, and you will do well in Survivor.
Wow. Okay. I mean, that changes everything.
Yeah. So she is someone who is very bubbly, very ebullient. She is also a seminary student as well. So her faith is incredibly important to her, as is a lot of members of this cast, which is going to be something interesting that we talk about as well in terms of people's connection. But Marianne just has a really good energy to her. Now, that is a double-edged sword. She does mention how talkative she can be. So we'll certainly talk about that in terms of her longevity. But I do think Marianne is going to be a very fun character. And she has already kind of broken the Survivor internet at the time we're talking about this, in that before she went out to play, I don't think before she even knew she was going to play, she like tweeted a picture of herself being like, going to pick my outfit for the Survivor marooning. Flash forward a couple of years and we're getting ready to watch her be in a Survivor marooning.
Yeah, that's really fun. Looking forward to hearing more from Marianne. Anybody else in this tribe, Mike?
I am just checking one quick second. I believe so.
Yes, Omar.
Yes, one more. Omar coming. Omar's coming here. Get this, Rob. Exotic animal veterinarian.
Uh-oh. Okay. So is he riding the success of Tiger King all the way to Fiji?
Success is a very interesting term, Rob. Infamy, I think, would be more appropriate. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, it's pretty successful for Netflix.
Omar is a big fan of the show. He is somebody who, you know, has a very niche role. He talked about how like 4 to 5% of vets become exotic animal veterinarians. So he's like already used to not fitting himself in into a box. In that regard, he seems to be one of the more inexperienced people when it comes to outdoors, which should be fairly interesting. Don't know if we're going to get into another David Wright situation in that regard, but really exciting. So Omar is another Canadian. He is from Ontario. Omar is, I believe, by my recollection, the third Muslim contestant in Survivor history.
Okay.
We had Ibrahim in Palau. We had Natalia in David versus Goliath. And we have Omar here, and I believe he is the first Muslim Indian contestant as well. So again, breaking a lot of ground. Omar, I'm really excited for people to listen to his interview. I think Omar is a very fun person to talk to. We'll talk about it. No idea how he's going to do, but I think the way that he thinks about his life and the game and the life he has led so far is incredibly interesting.
Yeah, I think he's got to be a preseason pick if you are in a draft that rewards for analogy, specific animal analogy. I think is the consensus number one pick.
Oh, yeah. He made an animal metaphor in my interview with him. He's going to listen. Sarah Lucina says, last time I was a cop, this time I'm going to be a criminal. Omar said, I'm going to look like a pigeon, but I'm going to play like an owl.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, if you ask me, like, do you want to play Survivor like a pigeon or an owl? I think I'm not sure necessarily which one I would pick off the top of my head, but I guess so.
Yeah. I mean, listen, pigeons are more well-fed, but I think owls are the ones that end up eating their prey alive, which I think is more visceral for Survivor. And Omar has one of the more fun bios as well that I'm really excited to get into with you later.
Okay. All right. So that's it for Taku.
Taku is dunzo.
Taku tribe. Okay. So let's talk about the third and final tribe, Vati.
Yes, open up a whole vat full of Vati. And as I mentioned before, for whatever reason, a lot of the first contestants that I should mention, you know, we'll get into the plugs later, but I'm doing my usual thing of putting out two exit interviews every day starting tomorrow. And I'm starting with preseason interviews. And I'm starting with Vati, partly because a lot of people that just happen to be at the beginning of the alphabet are on the Vati tribe.
Okay. All right, Mike, who are we talking about first here in Vati?
All right. So this is Chanel. Chanel is an executive recruiter, currently lives in New York. And she is someone who, again, a lot of these people come from some sort of like, I would say corporate work, more white collar jobs, as it were, but definitely feels like, especially the fact that she is in the people business in a manner of speaking, those skills are going to directly apply to the people game of Survivor.
Okay. Yeah, she's going to try to use her experience with the cell, Mike.
Yes, she has this strategy that she talks about the cell, where essentially like you vetted a candidate and you need to convince somebody to join your group despite entertaining other offers. Sounds a lot like Survivor and alliances, no?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, certainly. I could see it.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. So that is Chanel.
Chanel. Okay, who else you got here?
All right, so next up, we have... Daniel Strunk.
Daniel.
There we go. So a bit of a familiar name to fans of post-show recaps. If you listen to the Everything is Super podcast with Josh Wigler and Kevin Mahadeo, you might be familiar with a certain writer in an occasional guest by the name of Professor Strunk. This is he, Daniel Strunk, big Survivor fan, down to categorizing all of the episodes that he watches and podcasts that he listens to that sum up Survivor.
What do you mean he categorizes the episodes?
I mean, this is true Alexander Chester territory.
Oh,
he
boy.
Has a Google sheet
yeah.
where he tracks every episode that he has watched, the date he watched them, and how many times that he watched them. And just in which case, I don't know, if someone held a gun to his head and said, when did you watch season 11, episode 14 last? He'd be able right. to track down the exact
And then what are the, is it like, ain't no Hershey bar?
I don't know.
Worth playing for? Yeah.
He says that he gives a rating to the movies that he watches. I don't know if he rates the episodes. If there is this, like, if the D in IMDb stands for Daniel mm-hmm. in this regard. I'm not entirely sure. But Daniel's interview, I'm putting up the written version tomorrow. It's really interesting. Daniel is incredibly self-effacing, but that also might make him the most like in tune with himself as well. He is someone who is quite a literal survivor. He was diagnosed with leukemia as a child and was able to live through that, which certainly taught him the ideas of tenacity and going through some really tough things at a very young age. And I think that has really like given him just this like light but sort of self-deprecating way of looking at the world. And so we shall see. Even he's like, I don't know if I'm gonna win. I don't know how I'm gonna do in the challenges. So mm-hmm. I think he sort of is doing our work for us of being like, let's see how I'm gonna do, because I'm not sure.
Okay, looking forward to hearing that interview for sure. Okay, Mike, who else is here?
All right, so next up we say hi to Hi. Okay, now the jokes are officially over. So Hi is a data scientist. So he currently lives in New Orleans, but he actually immigrated with his family from Vietnam. And so Hi grew up in a very low income household. He was a latchkey kid. So he spent a lot of time alone. He didn't have many friends growing up.
Relatable.
But he did have exactly. But he did have Survivor. And so with Survivor, Hi was able to really like learn about the world, learn about other people as well. He also credits a bit with like, you know, helping his parents sort of like transition into living with America, sort of serving as their go-between to like really accelerating almost like his maturation and his ability to be adaptable as well. Hi is coming in hot. Hi is a pretty big declaration, Rob. Like, listen, pagonging suck for the fans. I'm going to make sure there's no pagongings happening. I don't even care about my initial tribe. If it's good for me, I'm betraying whoever I want to.
Well, sure. If it's good for you, but hi, you do you. You know, don't worry. Don't worry about us. We'll be fine.
Yeah, I mean,
you
listen,
get that money, hi.
There's a certain amount of doing it for the fans, right? Especially as a fan, when you come on and you're like, I want to make good TV. Is that what you want to make good TV?
Mm-hmm.
And hi is someone who I think. I mean, look, I wouldn't say that he's purely doing it for the memes of it all, but he is certainly someone who's like, I know what I like on Survivor, and I want to play that game that I like to watch.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Looking forward to hearing more about Hi's story. Mike, who else you have?
All right.
Jenny.
This is Jenny. So Jenny is a creative director. So she is used to working in a corporate environment prior to, unfortunately, she did lose her job in the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
So she sort of looked at this as like, sort of like what we talked about with Mariah, this like, hey, you know what? Might as well try new things. I believe she is in her early 40s. So she's like, not a midlife crisis, but like a sort of a pivoting of life and what is important. She is someone who is used to sort of going in and taking charge. She tells a story about having to walk in as a leader of a new team that had been led in a certain direction. And she essentially had to like reorient them and lead them towards something else. And so she thinks that's going to apply a lot to Survivor.
Okay. Do we know anything about Jenny's familiarity with the show?
Yeah. So Jenny is someone who Jenny has watched the show for a while. Actually, her entry point was none other than Russell Hance. So season 19 was the first one that he mm-hmm. watched. He played what she calls a transformative game. So I don't know if she's going to carry that over. into her own game. I don't know how many hats she is going to burn. But listen, she is a creative director, so I think it makes sense that she gets creative with her gameplay.
Okay. All right. That's Jenny.
That is Jenny. She'll be making at least $8,675,309. though I guess, no, I guess that would be more than a million.
Okay. Tell me about Lydia.
Yeah, Lydia is one of our younger cast members, but she is a waitress, actress, bartender. Suffice
multi-talented.
She's a slashy, as the Aussies would say. Mm-hmm. So though Lydia is younger, she is very independent. At the age of 20, she moved cross-country on her own to pursue her dreams. And considering the cast, you know, she's really hoping to portray herself as like the younger sister to everybody.
Where'd she move to?
So she moved to California. She's currently in Santa Monica, and she's
to
from
get
Virginia.
On Survivor.
Specifically, she's one of those people who, you know, Chelsea style, Lauren Beck style, approached Jeff Probst and said, "Get me on your show. I have an eye popping red and white floral shirt, a la Shane Gould.
Yeah,
that'll really catch your eye."
Yeah, she packed up the car, said, "I'm headed out to California. Next time you'll see me, I'll be on Survivor." And look at her now.
Yeah, so we shall see. If you watch the commercials, I believe she is the one who has a sound clip of being like, I've only been camping at music festivals. Mm-hmm. Suffice it to say, I think there might be some crossover appeal. I know that probably Jonathan Young is one to fancy a music festival or two in his time, given his aesthetic. But we shall see how much Bonnaroo or Borneo ends up coming out in the beaches of Fiji.
Okay. And then who else is here?
All right, let's finish, I believe, with Mike. So Mike Turner is the oldest member of the cast at 58 years old. He is a retired firefighter from New Jersey as well. So again, something in the water. He does compare himself to Tony a bit, right? That's sort of like bald-headed, gruff exterior. But despite his look, Mike sort of prides himself as a bit of a softy. Much like Ado Annie, he can't say no. So it'll be really interesting to see how he ends up doing here. He's another person who's like, I basically played Survivor my entire life. You know, he grew up in a not so great neighborhood. So like he essentially learned a lot of street smarts from the get-go. Those often pay off over the course of Survivor. So listen, firefighters also have a great track record as of late on Survivor as well. So we shall see if he continues to be continuing that trend.
Mike, I haven't crunched the numbers on any of this. This feels like a little bit of an older skewing cast. Do we, you know, in relation to Survivor 41, is this about the same or a little bit older?
That's a good question. I feel like that's a Rob's fact checker thing. I want to say probably older than Survivor 41. I don't know how much older compared to other casts. Like maybe, I believe like Survivor 31 might have been the oldest cast overall, but certainly up there. Like you have Mike, who is 58. You have people like Jenny and Maria, Mariah, my apologies, and Rox Roy that are a little bit on the older side. You have a good swath of people in the middle, and then like your Zachs, your Swathies, your Lydias, your Jonathans that are in their 20s. So it might all balance out at the end of the day. But I will say, you know, when it comes to like capturing the quote unquote later days aspect of Survivor, despite Survivor not playing into later days compared to the 39-day schedule, I think it's a good representation between 41 and now.
Mike, let's go back to a premise that you talked about earlier in the podcast about some of the twists that we can expect these 18 players to be dealing with here in Survivor 42. What do we know definitively at this hour?
Not a lot, right? What we can all sort of go off of, because I know I haven't done any interviews with Jeff Probst. I don't believe anyone has. If they will, it'll probably come out through, you know, Dalton and maybe some other people over the course of the next several weeks of preseason. What we really know from Jeff is that said at the Survivor 41 finale, as well as, you know, in some interviews leading up to it, is a lot of, we did a lot in 41 and we're doing a lot of similar things in Survivor 42. So I think what would be fun to do for our sake, Rob, is to try to like puzzle out. Let's go through the list of kind of wackadoo things that happened in Survivor 41 and see what crosses over. Some things have been confirmed a bit. If you watch the trailers, a lot has not. So we'll sort of like put our own production hats on and try to
figure
out
score?
What ends up. And let's keep score. And okay. These are also our forms of predictions, right?
Predictions. Like,
so people can come blast us on Twitter when it ends up showing up or not showing up.
Please. I dare you. Okay. All right.
Pineapple Boy 27 is going to be resurrected.
No. Like, listen, yeah, like you come out in May and be like, Rob, you got zero things right in your prediction show with Mike Bloom in February. Like, it says more about you than it does about me. Okay.
Also, can I just say being wrong is underrated? Is that
put it in your spreadsheet? Okay.
Yeah, exactly. But listen, for me, I love being wrong because it's just one thing of if you are indeed wrong, then great. You have like nowhere else to go. You knew where you're wrong and that's fine. And if you're right, then yeah. Fantastic. A broken clock is right twice a day.
If I was never wrong, nobody would listen to this podcast because it would be all spoilers.
Yeah, exactly.
Think about it.
This is really a sign that we are like two dum-dums in the dark right now. Not a shot in the dark. Just being like, I don't know what's going to happen, which is nice to do. It takes a little bit of pressure off of us. And if we're right, that's fantastic. We happen to luck into it. And if we're not, then we're surprised. So again, win-win.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Mike, what are we talking about? What twists?
All right, so let's start. I just made like a list of the things that we underwent in Survivor 41. So we know that three tribes are confirmed. And I would imagine that we are not swapping the tribes up whatsoever.
Will we have a tribe swap? I think that's a good question. Yes or no? Yes or no to a tribe swap?
I don't think so. I think if it really depends on like Survivor 41 were sort of the guinea pigs, again, as was referred to in some of those infamous behind the scenes things from 41. So, yeah. You know, 41 was really interesting, especially with the UWA stuff. So I would imagine that they're going to keep it separated.
Okay. I will say that I say we do that, not necessarily a tribe swap, but I will say in the season, I could see them going down to two tribes before they go to the merge. Rather than go from three tribes to the merge, I could see, because we kind of got that in the fake merge episode where we divided them into two tribes kind of for an episode, that I could see maybe for an episode or two, we go from three tribes to two tribes before we emerge.
Yeah, maybe, because when you think about the idea of the monster, right, of the most dangerous season ever, which will be really interesting to see if they continue to pump out that theming as well of like, we want to give you the full intense experience, right? Will the danger messaging continue? Obviously, we know that the monster is still a factor, but part of that danger and nowhere to hide stuff was keeping them in three tribes, right? Was going down to a tribe of two for the first time since Matt Singh. So I still think they're going to keep to that because, again, considering that they haven't really given much thought, not really much of a refractory period when it comes to like, oh, let's you know, test the waters and see how the audience feels about it. I would imagine them just being like, yeah, this was interesting. Let's keep doing it again. So I'm going to err on the side of caution and say no swap.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll say they go from three to two to one. Yeah. I find that in the past, like, I feel like that in terms of like the episode, like the cycles that they shoot, like back to back, like, I feel like that they do similar things, but put like a little bit of a spin on it. And I feel like that could be the spin they put on doing three tribe season back to back, but let's actually do, you know, a stop at two tribes for an episode or two.
So speaking of that, we have a 2-hour premiere similar to Survivor 41. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the many things I got wrong was I came on last year, right? And we were like, yeah, there's no way they're doing like a double boot in the premiere. They're going to do like two episodes crammed together. Was not the case. We were very surprised that there was a double tribal council in the first episode. Do you think we're doing the same thing here? One tribe wins immunity.
I feel very confident about this. And I know nothing official. It will be a boot at the end of the first hour and a boot at the end of the second hour. And this is based off of past precedent in Olympic years. I believe Gabon had this. I know Cagayan had this as well. I'm not sure if Ghost Island was also an Olympic year.
Ghost Island was an Olympic year, and they had the first two episodes.
But when they Game Changers may have been, but when they start the season this late, we're playing catch up. There will be I know nothing official, but Rob Cesternino speculates there will be a 2-hour premiere. And there will be a boot at the end of the first hour and a boot at the end of the second hour.
Interesting. I mean, listen, I was not mad at the way that they started 41, because it was a great way to like get to know the contestants, really threw them on their feet. So I think you make a really compelling argument. I'll be in the same boat with you.
Although it was good how they did it last time. I mean, they could do this. They could do the same thing again. I'm just in the past when they start this late, that's what they've done.
Yeah, because I mean, what I really enjoyed about the premiere of Survivor 41 is because we had two tribal councils, like we got to spend significant time on 2/3 of the cast, where we got to see a lot going on at those two camps. I feel like if instead we're doing like 2 1-hour episodes, that might be a little bit tougher. So it's like, we'll expect the 2 1-hour episodes and hope for the altogether 2-hour episodes.
Because just look at the time frame of what do we have? What, 13 episodes in the last season? So yeah. If we're premiering on March 9th, like they don't like Survivor seasons aren't like don't go into late May.
Right. I think maybe Game Changers might have been the latest that a season has premiered.
And what was it? When was that finale?
They doubled up on episodes a lot because they did 2 episodes for the premiere and they did 2 episodes with the Haley and the Aussie boots as well. And they might do that here. I mean, this also speaks to the timing of things. Listen, if this also means we get rid of the whole mergatory 2-part merge episode that happened in 41, this might be a good way to shift it as well. Because we had a double boot in the first episode and we're like, how are they gonna, are we gonna go to a final four in the finale? This would be a way to sort of like balance things out.
Two people will definitely go home in the finale. We'll see if it'll be in 2 separate episode cycles or if we have like in last season where one tribe won immunity and the other 2 tribes went to tribal council.
All right, Rob, as you have coined it, Shipwheel Island.
Yes.
The opportunity, the summit for people from different tribes to come together, engage in various prisoner dilemma shenanigans. Yeah. Is that coming back for season 42?
On the last point, May 17th was the Game Changers finale and reunion. Ghost Island was May 18th. The Edge of Extinction went all the way to May 19th. And Winners at War had its finale on May 20th. So that's as far out as we've gone.
So I think I'm not doing the math in my head.
I'm sorry. That's May of 2020. It was May 13th of 2020 was a Game Changer. So yeah.
All of 2020 runs together. It might just all be called 2020.
Ghost Island finale was on May 23rd of 2018. So that's as far as out as we go. Okay. So
yeah. So Shipwheel Island, yay or nay for season 42?
I think we will do something different than Shipwheel Island, but something like Shipwheel Island. Does that make sense? Like, I think that we will still maroon people together, but I don't think it will be exactly the same mechanism as Shipwheel Island.
Yeah, maybe it's going to be a bit closer to like that one-off thing that happened with Sydney and Tiffany and Brad, right? The like, hey, let's get people together and do something a bit different, not just the, hey, go to the same place, turn the wheel to do the exact same outcome. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure, but I could see something very similar, even down, right down to the topography and everything, right? Like have them climb that big ass hill, get to the top, and then they make a decision. They might not do the exact like extra vote or risk your vote thing, but I could see, like you said, something very similar. Especially if they're not swapping, they really like that intermingling. There was a lot of interesting stuff that came out of that between Shannon and Liana, between Evie and Deshaun last time. So I think they want to keep that, and I would want them to keep that.
Yeah. I had said, you know, just like put an advantage on the table. One of you leaves with it. And if you can't agree, nobody leaves with it. That's it. We don't need to get all fancy with the mechanism.
But Rob, the props, the art department needs to be employed for a reason.
They're employed. They're not going anywhere.
Maybe they can create a giant cage that like falls onto the thing after the hourglass is expired.
Oh my God. That would be wild.
Before the big mousetrap thing comes down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mike, I see Sam sent me a note that says 13 weeks from March 9th would be June 8th. So I think we need to find some way to speed this up a little bit. I don't think Survivor wants to go into June.
Yeah, I think we're going to be doing some double ups here, which should make for, again, much like the survivors themselves are experiencing a quickened pace of the game, we might be experiencing a quickened pace of the season.
Is this sort of like a very like old school thing? Like, who cares? Who cares if it goes into June? What's May sweeps? Does anybody care?
Yeah, I remember back in my day in when Exile Island, Rob, when they skipped an entire month of Survivor because of March Madness.
Yeah, it's like
it's wild,
you know,
to think about nowadays.
You know, here's 14 weeks on Netflix. Boom. It doesn't. Who's like, oh, I'm, you know, really, you're gonna drop that in June? Like, whatever.
That's the thing. The concept of a TV calendar is like so lugubrious at this point, like Jell-O, more
very
less
lugubrious,
so than like the static
yeah.
mold that we had earlier. So here's another thing, and this has been outright confirmed deliciously by the trailer. The Beware Idols are back, baby.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that is confirmed. Yeah, we saw that in the, like, Jeff teased it in the Survivor 42 preview. That was in the finale. So, yeah, that's coming back. More crazy, more secret phrases.
Yeah, the one that we were privy to is potatoes have skin. I have skin. Therefore, am I a potato? So
okay.
Expect more food-based shenanigans,
yes.
It seems, from increasingly starving contestants.
Yeah, this was a great tie-in to the Rotten Potatoes HOH competition that we saw the other night.
Yeah, exactly. Spud on the Brain of CBS. I'm not entirely sure. Maybe they moved their locations to Idaho, and their big potato is in their pocket.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, yeah, I'm not sure. I think if you screenshot the parchment, you might see the other two, but we are a bit in the dark about that. But that's another fun element that is returning. You know, interestingly, last time we had those three idols and no other idols throughout the season. Do you think the same thing is going to happen here?
I'm not sure. I feel like that there were certainly like advantages to be found. I think they keep an eye on how many idols are in the game and that they might rehide them at the merge. So I will say I think that there will be post-merge idols this season.
I would imagine so, because my bold prediction is that at least one idol is going to be used in this season. We got very, some might say, lucky in regard to season 41 in that none of them were used.
Well,
all of them went home.
Xander, I believe, did play his idol at the final five.
Well, I guess I should say, like, none of them voided votes.
Right.
At all. So I think that, you know, having them become of use and not just sort of like hanging above everyone's heads. Now, the idea of public idols are interesting. We're even talking about this in Survivor, in Australian Survivor as well. This idea of like, if people know you have an idol, how do you plan around that? But I imagine that between like the idol based malarkey of seasons 38 through 40 and the conservative play of season 41, I think we're going to swing a bit back over to how things were prior to 41 of people using idols, especially again with this idea of no place to hide.
Sure. Makes sense.
All right. Let's talk about some other advantages. Shot in the Dark's got to come back, right?
Yeah, I think that basically the book hasn't been written on Shot in the Dark. I wouldn't be surprised if they sort of like clean up the rules a little bit on Shot in the Dark, but I think that Shot in the Dark, its legacy has not yet been written.
Yeah, cleaning up the rules is a nice way of describing explain the rules to us, because we're still not sure exactly how it worked, kind of had to piece things together. So I would imagine that's the case. Now, this is interesting, right? Because again, 42 did not see 41. So they are getting Shot in the Dark explained to them for the first time as well. My bold prediction is that we are going to see Shot in the Dark be used twice in this season,
okay.
Right? It was used once by Sydney. I don't think it's going to be used that much more than once, because let's remember, one of the disadvantages of Shot in the Dark and the small tribes is that it really disincentivizes you to be like, yeah, my vote doesn't matter. So let me risk my vote. Your vote matters much more when there's only a few people left. So I don't know if we're going to see it a lot, but I think we're going to see it at least a couple times.
I've said it before that the ultimate purpose of the Shot in the Dark is to make sure that every vote is a blindside and nobody knows that they're going home and sort of making boring television, because it's sort of like, well, like, it's you tonight and there's nothing you can do. And then with the Shot in the Dark, it's sort of like, well, we can't tell the person, because then if we tell them, they'll play the Shot in the Dark. And then what are we going to do? So we have to like scramble and make up more plans. So it keeps the players very active.
Yeah, exactly. It's this idea of like, you have to be constantly thinking because things might be occurring. Though in this case, again, I like that everyone had the public information of like, well, this is available to everybody. So there's not really that much rampant speculation, as opposed to like, well, this person might have an idol or an extra vote,
yeah,
or some sort of like triple idol where you can idol me out and someone else out as well. In this case, it's like, I have something, they have something. It's trying to figure out when we're deploying the same weapons that we have.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
All right. Now let's get into the whole mergatory double episode thing. I think this is gone for season 42. I think this was a one-off.
I would agree. If they did it again, I think what they should do is just like basically leave a note that we lost an episode. It was very sad. Our resources have been stretched because of these unprecedented times. We actually deleted an episode by accident of Survivor. We will just pick it up with the next one. Here's who got voted out. It's not important what happened. And
this is like when Andrew Lloyd Webber's cat walked on his keyboard and erased the score of the Phantom of the Opera sequel. It's like, oh no, we were working from home and our dog stepped on the delete key and we lost an episode of Survivor. So sorry. Yeah.
In a way, the hourglass was smashed. History was reversed and we don't need to worry about that again.
No, I definitely think this is gone, considering, again, the very adverse reaction a lot of people had to it on the beach. Again, there were not an audience that they could contest it with, but the 41 people were very specific about how they did not like this.
Now, could they have something somewhat similar where one person is deciding which group is safe or something like that? But I don't think that they will undo the results of a challenge ever again in the way that they did in season 41.
Yeah, it might honestly, I don't know, they wouldn't want to erase a challenge because otherwise it could be the thing where like the one person not picked at a schoolyard pick'em is safe and then they pick the next person to be safe. Or it could
or
be
they
like
pick, which group of people do you want to keep safe at this tribal for this tribal council tonight? Like almost like in lieu of a challenge.
Or let's
who gets
go back
to eat
in
the merge
time.
Feast. Yeah.
Could they invoke something out of Madwan from Celebrity Big Brother? And do like, hey, Erica, you're safe. Pick another person to be safe and like go down the line until like half the group is safe. That could be interesting.
Sure, sure. But yeah, I don't think that we'll see exactly that. But yes, I could see something where a player has to make a decision that impacts the group as a whole. But I don't think it will be to reverse the results of a challenge.
Do you think we'd still do a two-part merge episode then? Or is this to your point before with the scheduling? We don't need to.
We
do
gotta
it.
Move. Look.
Monster hungry.
But I don't think that CBS wants to keep Survivor running into June.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be May. May is the time for Survivor to end.
Mm-hmm.
Everything in its due time. All right, so finally, luckily, again, all of this was sort of like expended in the first half of the game. Because I would imagine in that case, I guess I'll add a couple of other things in here. The infamous, like, split the group up into two groups that each vote someone out. True to you said about momentum. You think we're doing that?
They have not ever done that in back-to-back seasons, so I don't think it comes back in season 42.
I could see it happening, personally, because, again, if you think like there is a quickened pace to everything, they might want to be like, all right, let's send more people to the jury. So I personally could see it happen.
It's a good way to pick up the pace.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? I mean, it would be unwieldy, but if they were a final nine and they divided up into three groups of three, that would be really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do think that maybe we might end up seeing sort of a like in season 40, we didn't have that, but we had the round where one tribe was safe and then Parvati and Sandra got voted off in the same episode. So maybe we end up with another episode where two tribes go to tribal council pre-merge as opposed to two tribal councils post-merge.
Yeah, or we could do something like we occasionally do, like the hurry up episode, right? Like where the Jeremy and Nick boot from Winners at War is an example, right? Where we essentially play out two cycles over a course of an hour. Mm-hmm. We might be able to do that as well.
Yeah, the last I think that was actually like a 90 minute episode.
Oh, you know what? It was a 2 hour episode. Yeah, Mel. Yeah, a better example. The Andrea and Reynolds boots from Survivor Karamoan is a better example.
Sure, sure. Even and Andrea and I believe Michaela in Game Changers.
Yep, the infamous
Sunday
what happened
and Will
with
Wall.
The extra vote. Yeah, non-transferable tribal council as well. So we'll see if they do that, especially if it's like final seven into final six, because both of those were the penultimate episodes. Speaking of stuff in the end game. Do or Die.
Yeah, I think Do or Die comes back. I do.
I die. Yeah, I think it's coming back. I completely agree. I think it's a big spectacle. I think Jeff and the producers love this idea of like putting your life on the line through the luck of the draw. I think the jury is still out as to whether or not they wanted Deshaun to pick the skull or not. But maybe the universe is going to balance itself out and someone gets eliminated by this season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think a do or die comes back. And my prediction is that the person this season does not get as lucky as Deshaun.
Yeah, they're gonna do the Monty Hall thing. They are going to switch and it's going to be deadly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mike, we have a question from Cameron Huntsman in the chat. Rob and Mike, mm-hmm. Do you guys think that there will be an idol nullifier returning this season or not?
I hope not. I do not like the idol nullifier, but I mean, I could see it returning, but that's tough because, again, we talked about like the balance that occurs when you throw a certain twist in. Could you do a small number of idols and then also have an idol nullifier as well? Mm-hmm. I don't know how that factors in together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, stop with the idol nullifier.
Yeah, I leave the idol nullifier in, then, you know, pre-COVID times. I think that's fine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. All right. Mike, any...
Oh, no, sorry. One more. Of course, you mentioned it before. Knowledge is power. Do you think that's coming back?
No.
I could see it coming back.
Mm-hmm.
I think they loved the moment that it created with Xander and Liana. And naturally so. I think it was a very fun TV moment, led to a really fun, tense, merged tribal council. And so I think for that reason, I think it's going to come back. And I think it'll probably be used successfully in this. So what we're essentially predicting is, again, a lot of similar twists. The outcomes will go in the exact opposite directions as 41. Mm-hmm.
Okay. What about the game within the game?
The game within the game... Yeah, I guess that might stick around with Jeff's, you know, talking to the camera. The question is, do they reuse the same puzzles or do they have them create?
I think they got to do new puzzles. You're gonna have these kids do the same puzzles again?
Yeah, but kids have short attention spans. They might not remember what they entered from, you know, October.
I think they're going to remember.
Oh, this is a rerun. I saw this one.
Yeah, what's a rerun?
Natalie, can I have your jacket? I know I knew that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. These kids are going to get pissed. You ever go to a doctor's office and the highlights magazine is already filled out? They don't like that.
I can't say I've experienced that so far, the frustration behind the highlights magazine at the doctor's office, but I'm looking forward to that when Asher comes of a certain age.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. All right. Mike, anything else about Survivor 42 today?
No, I mean, this is a good start. I will say overall, I'm really excited about this cast. I think the more that we're going to get into it with the written interviews and the audio interviews, everyone really has a story to tell. Yeah. I will continue to beat this drum that, in my opinion, the most consistent, best thing about Modern Survivor is the cast, is the people that they bring on, and they're continuing to hit it out of the park. I think this cast is really, really interesting, and I'm really excited to get more into who they are, and especially how they're going to vibe with each other as well.
We love to see the Survivor contestants. We get to know that it's really, really fun. We get to like these people, it's just like a profile picture. And then a couple months from now, we're going to have like a full, like a three-dimensional image of like what these people are really like. And they're going to be part of our lives for the rest of our Survivor fandom. And so it's a really fun experience. Hope that the good greatly outweighs any negatives from the worst of the Survivor community. But, you know, that's not what we do here.
Listen, we're here for fun.
Yeah.
Right? Jeff Probst might say the best fun is the dangerous kind of fun. I think for us, if he's more the gallant, we're the goofus, to make reference to the criticized highlights magazine. Mm-hmm. We're here to have a good time. Are there going to be weird twists along the way? Absolutely. That seems to be the direction Survivor
goes. It's not their fault.
But when it comes to the people, the reason that I have watched the show since the very beginning in 2000, I think we are in good hands, and I'm excited to talk more about them, even starting tomorrow, and to show you those people, not only in audio form, but through the copious amount of interviews I did with them preseason.
Okay, looking forward to it. Tomorrow, we will kick off our Survivor 42 interview series here on Rob is a Podcast. Mike has gotten interviews with all 18 castaways. We will start off by listening to said interviews with the Ika tribe tomorrow. Mike obviously has heard these interviews. I have not. I will hear them for the first time with you tomorrow. Make sure you subscribe to Rob's podcast so you don't miss that one. This is the Ika tribe. We do our first deep dive.
Yeah, and it should also be known that I think in there as well, we'll talk about some supplementary material too. We'll certainly talk about highlights from the bios. I know that CBS likes to post those sort of like 1 minute get to know you videos as well on their official accounts. We can talk about those if they're posted. Of course, if there's anything you know, like we talked about with Tori from Sequester or Jonathan from Endurance, if there's like any other things that we bring in to get to know these people, we'll do that too. So if you have anything we should know about the contestants as well, feel free to send that our way.
Yeah,
it'll sort of be
know.
Like our catch-all of like everything you need to know about these contestants.
Okay. That's coming up on Thursday on Robin's Podcast. Wednesday night, we'll be back on the Celebrity Big Brother beat. And we have got a great one as Big Brother 23's Hannah Chadha joins Taryn Armstrong, Phil Thompson, and myself to recap Wednesday night's edition of Celebrity Big Brother 3. We'll talk about the HOH and the nominees tonight. And then on Thursday, we will have a very special edition of The Slop. If you are a Robin's Podcast patron, I will be joined by my Nothing But Netflix co-host, Chappelle, as your friend and mine, Josh Wiggler, stops by to talk Wig Brother this Thursday. Plus, my wife, Nicole Sestrino, will join us to share not one, not two, but three anecdotes she has about her run-ins with members of the Celebrity Big Brother cast. That's going to be live at 6 p.m. Eastern on Thursday for the patrons of Rob's Podcast. Get the link at robswebsite.com/patron.
Wow. I mean, listen, we're going through some chill right now up here on the East Coast, but hell has truly frozen over in that Josh Wiggler is talking about Big Brother.
Yeah, Wig Brother.
Super pumped
Wig Brother
for this. This is Josh's first Big Brother season, really all-star lineup for The Slop. If this does not incentivize you to become a patron of Rob as a Podcast, if you have the wherewithal to do so, I don't know what will.
Yeah, you could argue we have more star power on The Slop than there is in the Celebrity Big Brother house. But, you know, I digress.
Yeah, okay. No, better run potato score, I would say, for you four than maybe Chris Kattan.
Sure. Mike Bloom, Jessica Lisa, and I are going to get back together on Thursday afternoon to talk about the next episode of The Amazing Race. Our last recap, I thought, was one of the all-time great Amazing Race recaps that we ever had, talking about Coltoni and Dusty and much more. So be sure to join us again. Make sure you're subscribed to catch our recap of tonight's Amazing Race.
Yeah, listen, if you're a Survivor fan, I think you'll like the Coltoni segment in particular. Mm-hmm. And if you're an Amazing Race fan, you probably did not like that. So there's a nice Venn diagram.
Yes, okay. 90 Day Fiancé, before the 90 days, Puya and I are recapping everything that's going on, including the 90 Day Fiancé, the Single Life reunion show. I've had a lot of fun covering a very wild season of 90 Day Fiancé that is up on the Rob's Podcast main feed and also in our 90 Day Fiancé podcast feed as well. robswebsite.com/90day feed. Of course, Joe Millionaire is going to be back again, and we'll be covering the sixth week of Joe Millionaire Thursday night.
How many weeks is this thing going for?
Oh, it's 11, Mike.
Okay, which is going to run longer, Joe Millionaire or Survivor 42?
Yeah, well, there was a teaser trailer at the end of Joe Millionaire last week. There's only 5 episodes left.
My God, is this
ready,
like
Joe?
Is this like the consumers and being like, only 6 months until Christmas, get your shopping
yes,
in early.
The Joe Millionaire creep is real. Yes.
Yeah, very much like that type of marketing. Wow. Mm-hmm. 11 weeks of Joe Millionaire. Well, you're more than halfway there.
We're more than halfway there. Joe Millionaire, check that out. Robinswebsite.com. This past week, I talked about the 2019 blockbuster film Cats on Robin and Kiva. Need a podcast. 2 years in the making. Did you listen to this, Mike?
I haven't listened yet, okay. But people know my experience with Cats. I infamously paid $20 to go sit in a theater by myself and watch the movie Cats back in the winter of 2019. I cannot wait to hear your experiences about the aforementioned Andrew Lloyd Webber catastrophe that is the Cats movie.
Yes, check that out. Robin and Kiva need a podcast. Every week, if you miss anything, we're bringing all you the highlights to you in our weekly Rehap Up, your one-stop place to hear all of the best moments and conversations from the week on Robin's Podcast. Look for that on Saturdays on robinswebsite.com and in the Robin's Podcast main feed. All right? Then be sure to join us this Saturday, Mike. Woo! It's a big day because it is going to be the 12th birthday of Rob as a Podcast. And we are celebrating
12.
We are celebrating our 12th year of existence with a special that we're calling the 12 for 12 on Saturday the 12th. RJP is turning 12, and we are bringing you 12 hours of programming on the Rob is a Podcast Instagram. We are going to have podcasters going live for 12 hours, maybe not 12 hours consecutively, but at the top of the hour, you will be joined by new podcasters or some different podcasters every single hour throughout the day on Instagram from 12 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m. Eastern coming up on this Saturday. Follow at RHAP Grams to be a part of all of the fun coming up on Saturday.
Yes, you might see yours truly there as well. Who's to say? But yeah, I think that you know what? I'll put the challenge out there. Someone write a 12 Days of Christmas parody about, I don't know, the 12 years of RHAP, and we will play it on loop over the course of that 12 hour period.
Oh my God! All right, and of course, I told you about the slop coming up on a Thursday. It is a great time to become a patron of a Rob is a Podcast with everything that we have going on right now here. It's the start of a new Survivor season around the corner. We're doing Celebrity Big Brother. By the way, Australian Survivor. We make it so easy for you to watch Australian Survivor. Catch all of Shannon Gus's Australian Survivor coverage this week. Shannon caught up with Evie Jagoda to talk about week number two of Australian Survivor, where Sandra Diaz-Twine is currently playing with her daughter, Nina. So very easy to watch the Australian Survivor. Plus, we have our Facebook and Discord communities where you can chat with other reality TV fans around the world. And then, of course, we will be bringing you original Survivor content in our Patreon feed over the season. I have an idea. I may be changing up the exclusive Survivor show for season 42. I have a little bit of a different idea. Yeah.
And that's the thing, right? Like Shipwheel Island, good concept. Let's tweak it a little bit. Thing with your constantly on the move here.
Robswebsite.com slash patron. And for all of our other patron shows and much more, Robswebsite.com slash patron. Hit that subscribe button if you're joining us here on YouTube to make sure you don't miss anything that we're doing. We post, of course, all of our live shows and a bunch of our other Rob is a Podcast shows here on our YouTube channel. Of course, subscribe to Rob is a Podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. And we appreciate your feedback and star ratings at the start of the season. And of course, at Rob is a Podcast on Twitter and TikTok and at RHAP Grams on Instagram, where we will be having our 12 for 12 coming up this weekend. All right, Mike Bloom, always busy. One of the busiest guys around, constantly working at his craft. What's coming up for you?
Well, you know me, right? I have my own monster chasing me personally. So I just have to make sure I keep moving lest it catch up to me. And then I'm frankly not sure what's going to happen because we still don't know what the monster is. Maybe by Survivor 43. But so many things happening. So listen, I can understand if people want to dip right now of like, hey, you know, I got a general dip my toes into the waters as to what the Survivor 42 cast is like. I'm good. I'll see you in a month. But to quote RuPaul, you're only getting half the story if you're doing that. For those of you that want to find out more about the contestants, starting tomorrow, February 10th, I will start releasing my preseason interviews with the Survivor 42 contestants over on Parade.com. So for the podcast that you and I are doing, Rob, we're going to go Ika Tribe, then I think Taku, and then Vati. I'm going to reverse that just to, again, diversify the portfolio a bit, to quote Rox Roy. So I'm going to start with Vati, do Taku, and then Ika. I'm releasing two previews a day, one at 10 a.m., one at 2 p.m. It's just going to be simply going through it. So tomorrow, for instance, we're going to start with Vati, and I'm doing Chanel in the morning, Daniel Strunk in the afternoon. So stay tuned to Reddit, to my social media, where I will be posting all of that really informative interviews. There will obviously be a lot of crossover between, you know, what we talk about on the podcast, what I talk about in writing, but some exclusive stuff as well. So you can really get a good sense as to who these people are before they play the game. So that's going to happen again, two a day for the next like 9 days or so, the next week and a half. Not to mention, you mentioned before, Rob, The Amazing Race. On occasion, Jessica, Lisa, and I will do the Tar Pit, which is sort of like our odds and ends, miscellaneous, like feedback meets the B&B type of show for The Amazing Race. I believe we might be doing one this weekend as well. We did one with Sasha Joseph a couple of weeks ago. That is very fun. But Posture Recaps is where it is happening at the moment. So many things going on. Rob, big day. The day that you and I are talking today, because the finale of the Book of Boba Fett has aired. Lots of opinions buzzing about on the internet. And so,
Mike, no spoilers right now. I didn't watch it.
All right. I'm not.
Don't just spoil the Book of Boba Fett right now.
Well, I will spoil for you something. The monster is a Rancor, is what it is. Is that actually at the end of Survivor 42, I'm remembering now, my memories from my Zach persona are eking through. I do remember a Rancor coming out and eating the second and third place finishers, and that's how the winner is declared. Sorry to spoil the ending of Survivor 42, but it's going to be myself, our Philly, maybe a special guest coming in to talk about the finale of the Book of Boba Fett. I'm also talking about The Legend of Vox Machina, which is an Amazon Prime show that is in its second part. I just watched the series finale of The X-Files to cover with my wife. We're doing the last week of The Bloom Files there. Josh Wigler and I have also encroached upon Down the Hatch 2.0. Look, we're talking Survivor 42. Mm-hmm. It's a number. It's important. So Lost continues. We are doing a very special edition of the podcast now where we have talked through every episode of Lost. Now, throughout, people compiled their ratings and rankings of the episodes. And so we're going to go through and do our own little like countdown show where essentially each episode, Josh and I try to guess what the next episode is based on just blind guesses and also clues that come in from the previous recaps we did of said episodes. They have been very fun. We've done two so far. Those come out on Fridays. So be sure to check that out if you are a Lost fan and you miss some Josh Wigler in your lives, though you'll get him in a lot of respects, especially with the Celebrity Big Brother stuff coming up this week as well. And who knows, again, if you're dipping and you're coming back, you know, by the time Survivor 42 starts, certain other things come out in March. You know, the TV landscape, like we said, is ever changing. There might be more coverage of things going on post-show recaps. So be sure to check all that out if you are full to the brim of scripted TV while you're piling on the unscripted TV as well at this proverbial buffet.
Okay. All right. Thank you all for so much for joining us here for our first look at the Survivor 42 cast. We will be back on Thursday to talk about everything going on in the Ika tribe. Until then, thank you so much for listening. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.